Good afternoon to all. I am Prabhu Govindaswamy from Texas A&M University. I am a PhD student. I am working with Dr. Muthu Bahavadiyannan. I am here to talk about how a long-term tilt system impact weed dynamics and shifting weed population. As we all know, raising a crops involve many different practices, starts from tillage to harvest. When I say tillage, how it's important for raising a crop. So the important operation when we follow or when we repeatedly do that, it impacts soil properties and overall farmland and the environment. Therefore, we choose alternate tillage practice called conservation tillage system. It is more beneficial than conventional till system in terms of soil physical properties and chemical properties and minimizing carbon dioxide emission. Though, if we see the statistics about adaptation of conservation tillage system, it is very negligible and scattered across the world. So what we thought that this is because of many reasons. One of the main reason is high density of weed population. Therefore, we initiated a study taking observations on weed seedling emergence, weed density, population dynamics, and shifting weed population in a long-term study. When we start doing this observation, we assumed that conservation tillage system retain crop residues and it has minimum soil disturbance would enhance soil organic matter and porosity and decrease soil bulk density. And then similar manner, the minimum soil disturbance and stable environment would increase weed population dynamics compared to conventional till system. Therefore, we fixed two objectives. The first objectives, what we thought that if there is a change in soil physical properties, how it will impact weed population dynamics. This experiment was initiated in 1982 in a randomized complete block design with four replications. We follow continuous sorghum. Why we choose continuous sorghum? Because there are many literatures studied on cropping system. So if we follow continuous cropping system, what would be the impact on weed dynamics? That's why we choose continuous sorghum. So in this plot, we followed in conventional till system, sisal plow followed by disking. And soil properties of the plot is silty clay loam soil, which constitute 45% of silt, 43% of clay, and 12% of sand. This is an overview of experimental plot. On my left, it is a conventional till system. We could see how the crop get better establishment over on the right side no-till system, which is very slow and very poor stand. Let's talk about how we collect soil samples for soil physical properties and what all the methodology we used to determine the bulk density of the soil. So these are all the soil physical properties we studied. We studied bulk density based on Blake and Hertz and other properties. These are all derivatives from bulk density and gravimetric water content. We collect soil sample from three different depths using gas operated soil auger. The core diameter of the auger is 5 cm and the length varies from what we choose depth. The first depth is 5 cm length and followed by 5 cm, then last depth is 10 cm. We collect soil sample from three different depths and we tried with 105 degrees Celsius and hot air oven for 72 hours. Then we wait until to get constant weight. Then after getting data, we check the normality of the data with Safiro-Wilk test followed by homogeneity. Once the data passed the normality and homogeneity test, we followed combined analysis. When we see the interaction effect, then we proceeded with individual layer analysis using PROC-GLM in SAS 9.4. Significance were tested at alpha 5% probability and means were separated using Latin square LST at alpha 5%. Let's look at the results we got from 2016 and 2017. Based on the combined year analysis, we failed to see any interaction significance between treatment depth and year, as well as treatment significance for all these properties. Because all these physical properties not only influenced by tillage, these are influenced by lateral difference in soil physical properties, soil moisture, and compaction created by past soil management practices. Somehow we got interaction between depth and year interaction. Then we proceeded analyzing depth into year interaction individually. The based on this data, in this graph, x-axis represent depth in centimeter and y-axis represent bulk density gram per centimeter cube. Based on this graph, we found that there is a significance in the year 2017, but we failed to see any significance in 2016. Because 2017, we received more than 15 to 20 inches of rainfall due to Harvey storm. So after that, we followed harvesting and plowing operations. When we do the plowing operation immediately after receiving 20 inches of rainfall, the top layer get compact as well as leaching down the finer soil particles into the second layer. That's why we got coarser particle at the 0 to 5 centimeter, which increased the bulk density at the top. When the particles moves down to the lower depth, we will get more pore space. That's why the bulk density went down. Whereas the lower depth, due to the compaction immediately after rainfall, get higher bulk density compared to the second depth. And this graph explaining about the volumetric water content and water filled pore space. The x-axis represent depth in centimeter and y-axis represent volumetric water content centimeter cube by centimeter cube, whereas that graph water filled pore space in terms of percentage. These both parameters get increased because of the compaction. When the compaction increases, tend to reduce the macro pore space compared to micro pore space. When you lose your macro pore space at the depth, you will get maximum water filled pore space and volumetric water content compared to lesser compacted layer. That's why we got the higher volumetric water content and water filled pore space at the lower depth compared to first initial two depth. Then we proceed with the correlation, how these factors interact with each other. We found positive relationship between soil bulk density, volumetric water content, and water filled pore space. Both have positive influence. If one factor is increasing, another factor also increases. We also found negative relationship between total porosity and air-filled porosity and soil bulk density. When these two factors increases, soil bulk density get decreases. We also found there is a negative relationship between water-filled pore space and total porosity and air-filled porosity. When the water-filled porosity increases at the depth increase, we will see lesser air circulation compared to the surface. So next proceed with how these change in soil properties. Usually I didn't get any significant interaction in soil physical properties. So they are not directly influenced the population dynamics of weeds. There are several other factors influenced weed population dynamics in this experiment. So let's see, on my left, we could see the no-till system, which has more number of seedlings compared to the conventional till system, which has very fewer seedlings compared to no-till system. So we count the seedlings at weekly interval. In 2016, start from March to June. In 2017, also same month, and we end with June. And we place 4.25 meter square quadrate in a plot, and we count the seedling, identify, and we pull out of the quadrate. Similarly, here also we followed normality test and homogeneity test. Whenever we fail, normally weed population data tend to fail the normality and homogeneity because of the variability within the plot. So such data we use square root transformation. Then we proceed to combined analysis by year wise, and then individual year analysis using PROC GLM in SAS 9.4 version. Significance were tested at alpha 5% probability, and means were separated LST using 5% probability. Let's see the how dynamics varying between both tillage system. So in 2016 and 2017, we identified different weed species So overall we found 12 major weed species in no-till and conventional till system. However, if we see the 12 weed species in no-till system, only 7 are present in conventional till system. There were 5 species absent in both years or 1 year. Interestingly, this small melon, which were absent in 2017 in both tillage system, and whereas prostate spurge, which is present only in 2017 in no-till and conventional till system, which were absent in 2016 in conventional till system, only present in no-till system. So this variability in weed seedlings emergence depends on how density the population were in previous year and how much seeds they are producing. What are the factors responsible for seed loss? Seed loss may be due to dormancy, or maybe due to the germination, or maybe due to the different macro and microorganisms, especially soil microbes. We performed a combined year analysis. Based on the combined year analysis, we found treatment significance for Johnson grass, waterham, and prostate spurge. Whereas interaction between treatment and year, we failed to get significance. So in this graph, x-axis represents treatment and y-axis represents Johnson grass number per meter square. This photo explains a lot better than this graph. We could see in that graph, no-till has, I don't think you will see the sorghum. We can be able to see the Johnson grass compared to conventional till system. Even in conventional till system, we could see the grinds of sorghum, whereas in no-till system only we could see the grinds of Johnson grass. So that much impact the Johnson grass shows in no-till system. So data also explaining how no-till system, the per meter square population is significantly higher compared to conventional till system. Because for controlling Johnson grass, we need to have very good herbicide management practice. In this plot, we followed atrazine as a pre-emergence and glyphosate as a burn down. Both herbicide failed to control the Johnson grass, both system. So in such situation, we need to have plowing operation in order to destroy the rhizome population, so which were absent in no-till system. That's why the whatever germinated weeds produce a lot of seeds, and again the germinating next year. We also check the density of waterham and prostate spurge. These two are very minute seeds. So the small seeded weeds are very effective in germinating the harder surface and more stable environment. That's why the population of waterham and prostate spurge were more in no-till system. Under conventional till system, these small seeds tend to buried in the soil. They require more energy to germinate from the deeper surface compared to the no-till system. So then we were very interested to see how the small seeded weeds varied between years. In 2016, no-till system had higher population of small seeded weeds compared to conventional till system. Whereas in 2017, we found conventional till system had more population of small seeded weeds compared to no-till system. This variability, the weeds are adaptive to many different practices. They vary one area to another area because of the cracks formed in the conventional till system and burying operation and conventional system. Every year they bring the soil, whatever dormant or whatever viable seeds in the deeper layer they bring to up. Whereas in conventional till system, the seeds settle on the surface of the soil. When you don't have any mechanism to break the dormancy, because it is completely protected by crop residues, so you want some kind of mechanical scarification to germinate, or we need some light to germinate. That's why in 2017, conventional till system did some kind of mechanical scarification as well as exposed the whatever dormant seeds in the soil to the light, so it get germinated in 2017. And let's look at how the diversity and shift happens in both relay system. So we adopted some of these indices to find out how weed species differ from no-till and conventional till system. So we followed Senan index to know the diversity of the weed species between two systems, and the same person index for evenness, and Simpson index for dominance. This dominance index also reflect how species evenly distributed between two systems. the similarity index given by Steinhoff's coefficient index and Sorensen coefficient index for how the species is similar between both systems. So based on these, we found that high diversity of wheat species in no-till system, both 2016 and 2017. And the evenness index of Senan index and Simpson index both shows highly even species of wheats in no-till system compared to conventional till system. This is because of the activity of more vertebrates in no-till system. They take the seeds from one area to another area. That's why the population is evenly distributed and present in every quadrate of observation. That's why evenness index is higher in no-till system compared to conventional till system. Conventional
till. Trying to put a wrap on it here, or getting out of time.
And we also did wheat seed bank studies. How the total seeds differed in both till system. We found higher number of wheat seeds at the top of the surface compared to conventional till system. Conventional till system, we found uniform distribution due to the soil inversion process. And this slide explained how the dormant seed distributed across the profile. We found more number of seeds at the surface in no-till system due to the lesser interaction between microorganism and seeds, because microorganisms play important role in decomposition of seeds when they contact with soil. That's why, which is absent in no-till system. And the yield also, conventional till had more yield in sorghum compared to no-till system.
Well, time because quit. You're more than out of time.
Okay. And overall, what I can finish this?
No, you're done.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.